is knowing. Crow!
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 621. Jason Lindgren is with me, and joining us for the first time is Jet Blake. We're going to get into some high-level science here, and it is 312, March 12 today. Yesterday on the 11th was the first day that I could set up my 130-millimeter solar hydrogen alpha telescope because it had warmed up enough and the skies were clear enough to do so. So I did my first shooting yesterday. I got some really good data. I did get what I consider to be evidence of the second sun. But ironically, when we met Jet about a week ago, he has quite a bit to add to this. And as we talked with him, he's bringing high-level science to this. And he corroborated almost everything I have said about the second sun. But with that, let's get Jet in here. Welcome, Jet.
How are you doing today?
Hey, man, we are good. It is warm here, and I'm excited to be back behind my telescope. Is there anything you want to say before we jump in?
Yeah, when we met and talked to each other a week or so ago, I had no idea of your background and your studies of the solar system harmonics, is what we call it in our scientific community. So I thought that was interesting that we had a lot in common. By accident, we kind of met, and then you decided to have this on a show, so that it was not pre-scripted at all. It's just that our findings, independently of what you've been doing over the years, seem to harmonize, and I thought that was very interesting.
It was. I mean, I talked with Rose after the fact, and I said my jaw was dropping as you were saying the things you said, because most of the time, the reaction I get is really, there's a second sun. Okay, this conversation's over. It's never taken seriously. As a matter of fact, the people that I shoot with have no intention of considering most of the time that this is even a possibility. Even when I show the evidence, they think it's something else. But I am convinced, and hopefully this week I'll put together a membership video and I'll do some stills as well that I put out to everybody that show what I think is going on. So just so you know, I think it was the spring of 2015. I don't have timestamps because hard drives have failed along the way and I had to do recovery more than once. But the first time I filmed this, I was working with a small Coronado hydrogen alpha telescope. What had happened was I had acquired a Canon DSLR that I converted to full spectrum. And when I say that, it's not really as badass as you think. Basically, chips pick up a lot more than our eyes can see, and they put a little filter over the top of them. To convert in the way I'm speaking, they just pull that plate off and they put a different one, which allows you to go basically into near IR and near UV. Not very much. Anyhow, I was filming the moon a lot back then, and I kept getting bored, slewing the scope off the moon, and I would find a bright spot in the sky with the full spec camera, and it was a significant bright spot, something like a third of the sky away from the full moon. So later on, I got the Coronado solar system and I was getting bored again. And I started to think, well, hey, I wonder if that bright spot is in the daytime sky. So I had my rig set up in a similar way, but it was a hydrogen alpha solar telescope. And lo and behold, I found another body that was a little bit smaller, slightly out of focus. That turned out to be the second sun. So that's the backstory. A year or two later, another man with a similar rig finds it again in a different location. In that same year, the SLU Observatory is live streaming for young people the transit of Mercury across the sun, but they've got a problem because the so-called second sun is almost kissing our sun. So close, they can't get it out of frame. So at some point during the cast, he says, guess you're all wondering what that is. That's the second sun. NASA knows all about it. We're not supposed to talk about it this kind of language. So that's the backstory. And I'm still chasing a clear shot at this. What I think currently, and I'm hoping you can add to what I'm about to say. Back then, I said two things, which I think are true. And partially, they have been verified. The first is that you can maybe see the so-called second sun with your naked eyes when it's at sunrise or sunset and they are separated. The other thing I think is true is that for some reason, all the images that get taken of the so-called second sun are at sunrise and sunset. But as an example, yesterday morning, someone from Ontario sent me a still. Unfortunately, it wasn't a video, but it looked like it was probably the so-called second sun, very close to our sun. It was about 15 degrees off the horizon, so very close, shot over the lake. And by the time I got my equipment on it at 9 a.m., I will show the evidence. It still looks like the glow of it is poking out from behind our sun. So what I think goes on is, for whatever reason, probably the angle that we're viewing from in the morning, there's some separation between the two bodies. And as we move to solar noon, it tucks in behind our sun. And that's the idea that I'm working with now. So I'm going to throw it over to you. What can you add, or what would you like to say about all that?
Well, our observations are not in the visual spectrum. We're looking at electromagnetic signatures, solar system harmonics, where we are under the strong impression that we're seeing manifestations of a second electromagnetic emitter that's close enough in our solar system that it's affecting primarily the inner planets. And that would be based on a concept. It could be the most likely a binary twin, or a lot of solar systems are binary, have two stars.
Most.
And most do. That's very common. And stars do not have to be identical in their electromagnetic output. So a lot of people that are not familiar with the science would think that if there's two stars in a system, you would see them equally. And that's not necessarily the case, because there's different types of stars and what they emit. They have different names. So this would be a name that we would consider a black star, what we would refer to. You might have a different...
For what reason do you give it that label?
That has to do with the electromagnetic output, the phenomenon that we're noticing with the solar system harmonics. So we give it that definition.
So the measured frequency, basically.
Yeah, and how planetary components and our sun would be responding to a phenomenon such as a theoretical black star.
So have you measured, I'll just use the word frequency, whether it's right or not, have you measured the frequency of the sun we're aware of and this one that you're calling a black star?
Our calculations seem to think that it's emitting far left of the known spectrum of our sun. So this would be far left of the long wave frequency of our sun, thus the connotation of black star. And how it would affect planetary systems, and we focus on the interior planets, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars, is the correlation of the cores of the planets and the electromagnetic grounding of the cores of planets. And what would happen if the interior planets, let's say Earth, because this is where we live, what would happen and how would the Earth manifest behavior if the core is receiving additional electromagnetic energy other than traditionally what our sun and its output is? And there's indication that since 2004, the end of 2004, beginning in 2005, the Earth is manifesting that it has been receiving the Earth's core additional electromagnetic input, and the Earth's been behaving accordingly, and that information is not readily available to the public. That would be our understanding. However you want to interpret that would be up to you and the listening audience.
Any idea why they'd want to keep that from the public?
Oh, yeah. I have an idea.
Okay.
I mean, do you want to hear it?
Yes. A lot of I'm
not familiar with your listening audience. I apologize. I don't know the feel. You guys would. You've been doing this evidently for many years, if this is episode 621. But let me preface this. We're a scientific community, but we're not part of this worldly system. What I mean by that is I used to be, but years ago, I was classically trained in atomic theory. Atomic theory is basically the traditional sciences taught at all high schools and universities around the world. Doesn't matter what nation state, what language, your periodical chart, and the known physics in the textbooks.
Mainstream.
Yeah, mainstream, right. So you have the mindset of government agencies, universities, scholarship grant funding programs, corporations. This world system of things as we know it. As I got older in my science research, and inventing technologies and applying for patents and international patents and so forth, I started to see the world in a different light. And what I found is that in our estimation, in our small scientific community, field theory is more accurate than atomic theory. And in field theory is a model we seem to think that it explains more accurately how life functions, and it's a better model of physics than atomic theory. Then I started to dig into government behavior and its various compartments, agencies, or certain types of corporations. I'm speaking in general because I don't want to get in trouble and mention any specific names, but maybe your audience can read between the lines. I started realizing it looks to me like they are operating under the understanding of field theory versus atomic theory.
What is the difference so people can understand?
Yeah, I've been contacted by hundreds of people over the years with the interviews that I've done and research work, and they've asked me, how can they learn about field theory? And there isn't any one particular book to understand field theory versus atomic theory, but field theory is based on a concept of physics of sympathetic vibration, oscillation, and choroidal electromagnetic fields. Some of the great minds of field theory proponents in the late 1800s, there was an explosion of brilliant minds that were running with field theory versus atomic theory were Walter Russell, who was a well-known mathematician.
We've covered him extensively.
Okay, Charles Steinmetz, another electrical engineer mathematician, Oliver Heaviside, Michael Faraday, Victor Schauberger, Buckminster Fuller, Nikola Tesla. Then you get into John Keeley and modern day Eric Dollard, Dale Pond, for example, who were professors and electrical engineers, physicists. So what's interesting is a lot of their work had been confiscated. You have Dr. Royal Raymond Rife, with the Rife machine. People are probably familiar with that. These scientists and researchers, a lot of their work was confiscated by a certain department of government agencies. And why was that? And what happened to their work? What happened to their labs and all their notes? So when you do a little digging there, we realize that that work continued, their research continued, but it was done from basically in the late, I would guesstimate like around 1927-ish, the work went underground. So it was still funded, and the research continued from these great minds, but not in the public eye and with off-book money. That's my speculation and understanding. So when I studied field theory and I realized, yeah, this is more accurate than what I was taught with the degrees that I have in traditional atomic theory, a whole new world of science opens up and understanding. So field theory, understanding of our solar system harmonics and possibility of a binary twin absolutely makes sense with field theory model. If they keep that knowledge hidden, that's because what happens to planets like planet Earth when it's experiencing additional electromagnetic energy from a second sun, or say a second physics, a second electromagnetic emitter, what happens to a planet like Earth? And I have speculation that their behavior is they understand what's going to happen to the Earth, but they don't want to make that known publicly because of the panic that it would create. Because an Earth-like planet, if it has additional electromagnetic energy, would manifest in an expansion of the planet and basically a reconfiguration of the topography of Earth.
So what you're suggesting is that the return of the second sun can be associated with Earth-changing events. I guess some of the modern language that might get applied to that is a reset.
Yeah. You hear, like on the news, if you hear the term reset, a lot of times the reference would be, well, an economic reset. You got the Klaus Schwab type, World Economic Forum, Bank of International Settlements, IMF, International Monetary Fund, World Bank, too much global debt, overspending, things of that nature. So you talk about a global reset, and just that alone is a very scary topic. What's that look like? What does that mean? Well, it means a lot of hard times and a lot of stress. Putting that aside, what if you have a reset in reference to the Earth's topography, where there's a transforming event to the way the Earth looks? And has this happened in the past to the Earth? Well, the answer is yes, it's happened to the past with the Earth, the geological evidence. For example, in the Midwest, in North America, the middle region, Missouri, used to be a shallow sea. It was very similar to today, what we call the Gulf of Mexico. Well, what happened to the Earth that Missouri is now above ground when it used to be a shallow sea? So there were major terraforming events that changed the Earth as we know today. Well, we understand that the Earth is manifesting. It's about ready to go through a major terraforming event, historical in proportion. The governments would, if I were temporarily to be sympathetic towards government in this illustration, if I were in government in one facet, their hands are kind of tied, because what would they do if they had knowledge of the Earth expanding and you would have major shifts in continental plates, new land masses appearing and current land masses being submerged? I mean, what would you do? I understand their position. Panic it would create. It would definitely decimate the global economy permanently. The infrastructure would change. If you have the West Coast cracking off from portions of Alaska through Baja, Mexico, what would that do? Well, that would decimate United States, Canada, Mexico. No government's wealthy enough to handle that kind of a hit as far as the infrastructure loss and the finances and loss of life. So you would have to kind of keep quiet and make contingency plans on what to do after the event. And I think that's what's happening. I don't want to get into, there's other talk shows, and maybe you've had this before in previous episodes. That's a whole different topic. Is the government preparing for such event? Do they have assets and contingencies so that after this event, they reemerge with a global governance of some type? That I don't know. I'm not in that group. But scientifically, our group, and we're not part of the establishment, we have nothing to do anymore. I've severed all my connections with universities. I no longer apply for government patents or the work with corporations. To me, the corruption is off the chart. I will have nothing ever to do with them again. So we're a scientific community that is independent, and we are working and preparing for such a contingency.
So I guess I've got to ask a couple questions. With what I've described and what I call the second sun, do you feel that what I'm describing is what you were talking about? Or do you feel like what you were talking about could be separate from what I have filmed?
Yeah, that I don't know. That's interesting, because when we met for the first time over the phone a couple of weeks ago, I had no idea you were doing photographing, that you have done work on the moon and then this anomaly. I didn't know that. And we don't have that type of equipment. We never even thought about that. So that was new to me 2 weeks ago when we talked in private. So I'm wondering, there has to be a connection. Why would you be seeing this manifestation in your different technology with your telescopes and camera lenses? And what we've noticed that's been happening since 2004. The reason why I mention that is back in 2004, we were in solar cycle 23. Right now, we're in solar cycle 25, which started in December 2019.
Right.
And this cycle will continue through year 2030. But if you go back to solar cycle 23 in 2004, because there are approximately 11-year cycles, 2004, it was a declining phase in cycle 23. But at the end of November, there was a burst of solar flare activity. And if the audience doesn't remember, if you go back into the archives, December of 2004, around Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, is when a great tsunami was triggered in Indonesia, one of the greatest natural disasters in recorded history, close to 400,000 deaths. So if you look at that phenomenon that happened December 2004, what could have triggered that tsunami if you're dealing with a declining phase of solar cycle 23? Well, something triggered the great solar flare the end of November with our sun in a declining phase. The only thing that could have done that is if it was something like a binary twin that came in close proximity that it made electromagnetic portal connection. That's clearly understood in our scientific field. So that was our first clue that there was something inbound with an electromagnetic signature that tripped the sun's activity, but also was close enough to connect to the Earth's core. And that triggered.
Before this event, there was no idea that there was another body there. That was what triggered.
Well, that's when it got close enough to manifest the electromagnetic physics to start affecting the Earth. So our understanding is since December of 2004, the Earth's core has been receiving additional electromagnetic energy to this day. And it takes a little over 20 years for the Earth's core to be heated up or energized to where you'd have a geological transforming event. The size of the planet, geology, things don't happen overnight, but 20 plus years is fairly fast in terms of geology. So picture the Earth needing, the Earth's core needing 20 plus years of additional electromagnetic energy for it to heat and expand the magma surrounding the core. As that magma becomes superheated and expands, it expands outward and displaces the glassy magma that our continents float on. Then that's when you have, and I can get into it further, that's when you have geological terraforming events where continents break apart, new land masses appear, and some land masses submerge and become ocean floors.
So I have a couple questions. Did you see any change in the so-called Schumann resonance? And additionally, I haven't looked, but there's a claim that there's something big happened with the Schumann resonance in the last couple days. Like, I'm not exactly sure yet, but there's a claim that there was a big pause or something. My main question is, do you see this energy reflected in the so-called Schumann resonance?
Yes, absolutely. And it affects all organic cellular mitochondria and nucleuses. That's a whole nother. We could talk for months, especially in private, as far as our understanding of what's going on. The problem is, if I could just, I don't know how far to go with you and your audience. It doesn't take long to lose people where they go, they're like, oh, this guy's a crackpot, or what they're saying is, that's human nature, is to immediately dismiss anything outside the normal paradigm. Or people have a tendency to go to Wikipedia or Google, and if it's not there, then it doesn't exist.
That's pretty much not this audience.
Okay, good, because that mindset will kill you. But we go on a premise that everything we've been told is a lie. Governments lie, institutions, academia lies. Our reality is a psyop, and the real truth has always been hidden.
That's the premise of this podcast. The tagline that I started putting on every image when I started this was belief is the enemy of knowing. The premise of everything we do here is that we've lived in an illusion, a manufactured illusion, for a long time.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so we got so frustrated as a scientific community. We have nothing to do with, as I mentioned earlier in this interview, and that's why we've been lied to. And governments and agencies are deliberately designed legally to keep this matrix system alive and to suppress any truth or any discoveries that would interrupt the current power structure. So if you have any technologies that improve healthcare or improve energy or improve agriculture, that's immediately confiscated, sabotaged, or you end up floating face down in a river, plain and simple.
100% of the time, we have noticed.
Yeah, this world cannot be fixed based on a human level under the current legal structure of international diplomacy, international banking, and police force and military. Cannot be fixed. So we're outside the system. We do not issue any patents. We do not publish any papers. We're blacklisted anyway, but we don't want them to know what we're working on. So our technologies are released to off-grid communities. And we don't participate in a monetary system because then they get you under commerce laws. So it's very, very complicated. So if right now, maybe the day's coming, but right now they still haven't been able to stop our minds from inventing and working on discovery. So as long as we're free to do that, We have great discoveries in water science and energy and field theory, physics, but it's not talked about publicly. So you're not going to go on a typical news agency or a sponsored podcast and hear it that way. It'd have to be kind of a rogue or independent agency, such as maybe what you're doing and your show. And then if the audience listens to that, then maybe through grassroots, one person telling another what they heard, and the news has to be spread that way.
Well, we just got another good example of what mainstream podcasts that try to make themselves appear as in, you know, secret information. You'll see it all the time, the fear porn. Oh, we talked about something and one of our guys just got killed. This kind of nonsense that goes on all the time. But I want to offer the point of view that I've developed over watching this other body. When you called it like a black star, I thought that's why I asked you if you think it's the same thing, because I don't think I would call it that with what I know, which admittedly is not nearly enough. I suspect that this is a binary. And as you know, and I'll just reiterate for the audience, not too many decades ago, binaries were thought of as something special when they looked out at the stars. Well, that has come full circle. And now the idea is every star probably is a binary when it's formed. And if we can't see the binary, it's just because we haven't discovered it yet. So we've gone in the mainstream for whatever that's worth. But I suspect that when the so-called binary sun gets further away from us, our consciousness drops. And that relates to what the Eastern cultures called the yugas, like the Kali Yuga being the dark one. In the Western world, it's the idea of an Iron Age, then a Bronze Age, then a Silver Age. I also suspect, and I think we're seeing evidence of this now, that when the binary gets closer, our consciousness begins to lift quite dramatically. As an example of this, everyone knows that TikTok was just taken over. TikTok was developed to be another one of these platforms like Twitter, where, oh, you're only allowed to use, you know, this many characters, so you can't express a full idea. It's used to dumb people down and destroy attention spans and make content become very banal and trite. Well, they had to take it over because consciousness is lifting and people were using this to communicate things that they didn't want that platform used for. My point is that I associate the binary partially with the lifting conscious. And as I mentioned, I wish I knew a lot more than I did. How do you feel about those statements, Jet?
Yeah, we agree with that. Since the audience really doesn't know who I am, and you wouldn't know, or a scientific group anyway, since we're kind of off grid, whether you believe this or not, I don't have anything to lose. But what we're working on years ago, many decades ago, we understood the electromagnetic output of our sun, the different wavelengths from long wave all the way through gamma ray, has data attached to it. And depending on what frequency oscillation coming from the sun, the data attached to it contains information. So the human DNA, for example, is an antennae. It can send and receive transmission. So an invisible light spectrum and far right infrared or ultraviolet into ultraviolet A, you have A, B, and C wavelengths. Our skin and DNA can receive information attached to those wavelengths.
When you say data, do you mean natural?
Yeah, natural analog data.
Okay.
And the physics behind it, all I can do is explain the premise of our knowledge base. And if your audience accepts it, it's up to them individually. But the sun gets its output from what we call counter space. Ancient texts would be referred to the heavenly realm or space, but there is counter space. We understand the physics of how stars are attached to counter space. So in counter space is dynamic energy. The ancient writings of Isaiah and other texts talk about this dynamic energy field. That would be the realm in religious context of this heavenly realm or a supreme being. But from counter space comes the energy that ports out of suns. Suns act as the end of fiber optic cables, to use like a modern day illustration. And the electromagnetic energy coming out of stars has data attached to it. And the data is different. Each star is different pertaining to its particular solar system and what lives in that region. So our DNA and our skin, and we're surface dwellers, we're designed to be out and exposed. We sleep at night for the most part. We have healing endorphins released from 10 to 2 a.m. We're awake during the day. We're supposed to be outside working with the soil and with plants and animals. And we're getting exposure to the sun's electromagnetic radiation. And then it communicates and downloads on those light frequencies to our DNA. And that's how Counter Space talks to us intercellularly. So if you have an anomaly such as a binary twin and it gets in close proximity to our solar system, then yes, it would affect people's consciousness because our sun affects people's consciousness. Then there's moon cycles. That's another interesting theory, how moonlight exposure is also important. You have a second electromagnetic emitter. How could it not influence consciousness and thinking? So when you have those cycles, you do have human society where there are upticks, or some people might refer to a vibrational phase, a fourth, fifth dimensional phase. There is field theory science does support that.
All right. I love talking to you because you're coming in at a high level of science. So I'm going to lay down some of the things that I think are probably correct. At least that's where I am now until I have more information. I have said that I feel like the sun is a converter, probably converting energy from what I was calling counter space, what Eric Dollard actually ended up calling counter space.
That's correct.
I suspect when I look at the sun with my equipment, I'm looking at the outer shell, which is what got me thinking about where the energy comes from. I view the sun as a lens, which you've kind of just described with data and all these. I view it as a lens, lensing in all these energies that we require, but more than what we require. You just attached it to consciousness, which takes me to the next thing I have been saying. In my view, the sun is conscious. In my view, all matter is conscious. How does that line up against what you just laid down?
Well, what we've noticed through our advanced studies of water, which is off the chart and just jaw-dropping, what we've discovered about the water molecule and how it's a key role between our dimension and counter space, where the data comes from, porting out of star systems. So consciousness, we understand consciousness is in the etheric field, and we know for sure that anything with a respiratory system, so that's humans, plants, and animals, the consciousness is communicated by the electromagnetic energy porting out of the sun, or if there's a binary twin, it will also have data attached to it. So that affects consciousness and awareness, especially if someone is tuned spiritually. If someone's in a physical state, and this might get into spiritual philosophies, but if someone's stuck in a physical state, you know, plastic and leather mindset, cars, houses, 401ks, cheek implants.
Materialism.
Yeah, Botox, materialism, they're not going to get it. But if you're orientated spiritually, then these electromagnetic signatures, yes, will elevate your consciousness and your awareness. On matter items, if it does not have a respiratory system, like gold or lead, the lattice structure of that molecular can contain data, but not consciousness. Well, our understanding is if you have a respiratory system, that's linked to consciousness. If it's a material item, such as a molecule, it can hold data, but gold and lead, for example, doesn't inhale and exhale.
Good point. I use the word consciousness for matter. I think that does apply to the sun, but for matter, what I meant to imply is it's not just dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I used the wrong word as I stepped down. Go ahead.
So what we're realizing, and I think this goes back to maybe what Jason had asked, what we're thinking, and these are theories based on our observations. I'm sure you've had episodes about atmospheric salting.
Yes.
Street name chemtrails.
Many.
But when you're atmospheric salting that's going on, we realize that those aircraft have a different transponder. They're not military or civilian. And if there's atmospheric salting, they're flying over international airspace. They're never shot down. We have speculation who's behind this that we've been monitoring. The funding is there.
Can you tell us everything you know about that? Because that's something we've tried to uncover.
Yeah, I'm a little bit difficult there because I'm afraid of my safety if I go public.
Don't cross any lines for safety. Say what you can say and don't okay. say what you know you shouldn't say. But to set the table, I began filming chemtrails more than 2 decades ago. And when YouTube came around, eventually I set up a channel in 2013 and I was posting. The majority of people would not believe what was going on. Anyhow, that sets the table. I covered this for years and years. So go ahead. And again, don't cross any lines if you know you shouldn't.
No, yeah, right. Because I'd like to be around next week.
No, safety first.
So just in generalities, because if you it sounds like you have a sharp audience, they'll be able to read between the lines, and I don't want to get any in trouble myself. But think of some type of global governance where money's no object. So there's funding. You know, it's expensive. You've got all the aircraft and pilots and then the chemicals. So who's manufacturing the chemicals? And then the 24 hours a day worldwide spraying and the maintenance on the aircraft. We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars budget. This isn't cheap, and it's been going on in the 70s.
Unlimited budget.
So, okay. So just use your imagination. What type of agency, where would this unlimited budget come from? Okay. So you have your suspicions, just like I do. All right. Well, then if it's at that level, then this group wouldn't answer to any individual. They wouldn't answer to the United States government, the Canadian government. They'd be above all these governments. So there's nothing that's going to stop this. Why would they be doing this? Well, if you have second-tier people that founded a computer company, for example, and they're doing TED Talks or whatever, and they talk about global warming or climate change, the typical characters, and maybe that's the surface excuse or reasoning for this atmospheric salting is to reduce global warming. In our scientific community, I just tell you our findings and our thinking could be wrong. But we're just sharing ideas on this show. Our understanding is this is being done because it's trying to jam the data coming from the sun that's in the visible light spectrum.
You are just confirming, every other sentence out of your mouth is confirming things that we've put forward and covered. Years ago, I said, why am I always filming over the ecliptic? For those who don't know what that is, that's the path of the sun and the moon and the supposed planets. But they were always spraying. And I kept saying they're reducing the amount of sunlight. But I'm hoping you can get into that a little bit, Jet, because what we're talking about is, you call it salting, which I love the way you describe that. But there's metallic portions. It scatters the lensing energies that come out of the sun, right? It's scattering it up there.
Yeah, because, for example, solar panels, solar cells have been greatly affected by this atmospheric salting because of the haze, and it's a refracting of the incoming electromagnetic energy from the sun. Our understanding is the reason why they're doing it is, I know this sounds far-fetched, and I apologize for this being kind of woo-woo.
Don't apologize. This is the wrong place to be worried about that.
Okay. So what happens is, if there's a divine, which I believe there is, absolutely. So you want to, God, divine, whatever the title you want to give, the consciousness and the dynamic energy in counter space, the power structure on Earth is trying to jam the signaling, the communication coming from counter space to human, plant, and animal based here on the surface. And by the atmospheric salting, they're scattering and diffusing the data attached in the visible light spectrum, far right infrared, early ultraviolet A, they're obscuring that data. So intercellularly, they're trying to cut off humans, plants, and animals from the data coming out of the sun, which ultimately comes from counter space. Why would they be doing that?
Which is an upgrade. We're talking about blocking an upgrade.
Yes, that's what they're trying to do. That's what we think.
I agree so 100%. I can't even tell you this is clearly an unlimited budget. And this is where people get stuck on so many things. They always go back to talking about money. At the level we're talking, money doesn't matter. Money hasn't mattered for so long. They could spend trillions of dollars every day and it would be no problem until the end of time.
Right.
Just so you comprehend that money is not even close to king. What is king now is data. But to get back to the point, that sun is lending in energies. We're coming to what's, I'll just call an era shift. It's an age change. And historically, there are all these things attached to it. And Jet has talked to a number of them. The key feature is the consciousness upgrade. And it's not just us. It's like Jet said, the plants are upgrading. How many times have I talked about the bulldog that knows how to use a skateboard?
Right.
In the 70s, that dog would have been world famous. Now every bulldog just about can use a skateboard if they've learned it. But Jet, we are coming up to the top of the hour. So in about 4 or 5 minutes, I'm going to start wrapping up for a short break, but please continue on. And again, I'm going to ask you, is it possible that the thing you're calling the Black Star is what I am filming and calling the Second Sun? Or is it possible that there's another body? Or do you think that it's a fit?
I don't know the answer to that yet, because it's only a couple of weeks ago I talked and you're filming this.
Yep.
I'll have to get more data to see if they're definitely connected. I don't know if it's the same entity. To me, it's exciting. It's not conflictatory.
Right.
What you're observing, and I didn't meet you till 2 weeks ago, and what we've been for 18 years now, I was shocked when we spoke on the phone that they're matching. So here we have two independent, what you're doing, we never met each other, but we're having very similar data that's matching. So I thought,
one-to-one, not just kind of matching. I mean, I have not heard, the only thing that I've heard you say that has made me question anything is that you chose and your community views it as what they call a black star. Everybody knows the old alchemical idea that there's a black hole sun or a black sun. To me, that is a different thing than what we're talking about here. And so that's why I've come back on it. But everything you have said is a one-to-one match with my feeble ability to try to describe what I think I've observed.
You said we're coming up on an hour. Do you break this up?
Yeah, so the way this is going to work is hour one goes out everywhere. And this is all held on a private server for the same reason you don't do business with mainstream, neither do I. I use social media as an advertisement to come to my private server. We'll take a 5-minute break. We'll come back and record the second hour. The second hour is for membership, and that is our trump card to guarantee free speech.
Yeah, the second half is going to be a doozy. If I get into water and consciousness and our research there with the...
That's why we do it.
Okay.
So you can open up, you can unplug the throttle, you can fire the governor and go as far as you want to go.
So what I'll do is, for those that are the non-membership first hour, I can summarize this. Our understanding in our group is that whatever this ancient power structure is that's influencing mankind, and, you know, they control the economic structure, governmental behavior. They control the paradigm, news media, you know, commercialized news media, corporations, academia, medicine. This power structure must know a little bit of field theory science, because they confiscated a lot of the works and prototypes and lab equipment of these great minds in the late 1920s.
Well, they had to know the value to know they wanted to stop it, right? So they had to know the value in advance.
Yes, they have to. They have this unlimited budget and atmospheric salting and then messenger RNA, which is very fascinating, what they're doing to human, plant, and animal DNA. So I think they want to keep this power structure, but they realize in counter space that this is timing for human society to be elevated at a next level of consciousness. Some communities use the term vibration or a transition to a higher dimension. These are probably all cousin phraseologies, but the same thing. They must be aware of this, and they're like, oh, no, we're not going to allow humanity to have this uplifting of spiritual awareness, this higher vibration, dimensional, not under our shift. So we're using unlimited budgets. We're using our 300,000 plus scientists, brightest minds of the world. We're using DARPA, military research programs. We want to keep our power structure, and we're going to do everything possible to interfere with what's happening in counter space and electromagnetic output and communication to DNA. We're going to arrest or stop that, or start inserting messenger RNA to change human DNA to respond to our 5-6G satellite system, which is an artificial signature database projection than the sun, which is analog. And that's our understanding. They're very high tech. They are 80 to 100 years more advanced than we're led to believe, and they want to maintain this power structure and keep humanity at an arrested development state so they can maintain their power control, and they don't want us collectively elevated that we're meant to be at the next level. I don't know if that made sense or not.
It makes perfect sense, and I'm going to jump in. We have to wrap up hour one. Jason, sorry I bogarted. Is there anything you want to add before I wrap up for hour one?
Well, I think hour two is where we're going to cover a lot of the things that I have questions about, so I guess we'll just hold off until then.
Yeah, I think we're going to take the governor off the engine and unstop the throttle for sure. In my view, so many of the things, I mean, when we met, I literally immediately talked to Rose, and she said what I said. My jaw dropped. Because here we are with highly trained scientists that no longer will have to do with the mainstream, recognizing for what it is, which is the whole reason any of this started that we're doing here, is to show that there's an illusion. And as long as you live by that illusion, you have been denied your birthright, basically. So many things. The stupid carbon, you know, oh, global warming. Carbon is bad. Oh, by the way, you're made out of carbon, so you're bad too. All these things that go on. But at the end of the day, what Jet just closed with, I mean, that is the angel on top of the Christmas tree, for crying out loud. The effort to stop human consciousness from getting its upgrade from the very thing that I spend as much time as I can filming, that I call a lens, the sun, and now the binary to that. But at the end of the day, the tide will come in, and I frame what's going on like this. There's powerful, powerful corporations in the world that wake up one morning and decide they don't want the tide to come in. So when the tide goes out today, we're going to begin blocking the tide so it can't come in anymore. They might pull it off for a day or a week or a month or a year, but I can promise you at some point, the tide will come in. And that is a one-to-one allegory for what I feel is going on in the world. I'm going to wrap up hour one of episode 621 here. We're going to take a short 5-minute break, come back and unstop the throttle for hour two. And we're going to get into some things. So I hope to see you logged in as a member. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode, and they get access to all the forums, comments, and threads, and they can create top-level topics. They can stream the 2-hour film called Shoot the Moon, which now has 10 awards in the world. Jason was the producer on that film, and it covers all my older telescope work when I was focused primarily on chemtrails and the moon. But at the end of that film is the initial discovery of the so-called binary or second sun. Also available, I put stills from my current solar work, and exclusive to membership is all of my solar videos that I am filming again now and putting up. If you're not a member, you're not going to get access to that stuff because I do not play the social media game anymore. With that, we're going to wrap up. We'll be right back. Hope to see you logged in as a member. And I'd like to wish everybody everywhere a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers. We'll be right back.
enemies of knowing.